Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, we're glad you're here with us today, especially those of you who are joining us online. We are continuing our series on spiritual growth. We're calling it All Speed, all right? All Speed, S-P-E-E-D, like going fast. But when we talk about speed in reference to our walk with Jesus Christ, we're not talking about being super busy. We're not talking about trying to fit more into your schedule for God and just always being caught up in doing things for Jesus. We're talking more about your passion for Christ instead of your pace of life, all right? I want to emphasize, it's your passion for Christ, not your pace of life. I think a great story that maybe illustrates this is one of Aesop's fables, The Tortoise and the Hare. How many remember that when you were a child? The tortoise and the hare, they are going to have a race, and whoever wins, you know, I don't know what they win. They never said what they're going to win. But they take off, and the hare takes off running and goes super fast and has such a big lead, thinks, you know what, I'm just going to lay down and take a nap. I'm going to go to sleep. The tortoise just plods along ever so slowly, hardly making any progress, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. Just keep going. Just keep swimming. No, that's a different story, all right? He just keeps walking and walking and sees the hare sleeping. He's very polite. He doesn't want to wake him up and disturb his rest. And he just walks right on by and keeps going. And pretty soon you hear this cheering and this yelling. And the hare wakes up and he looks around. And there's the tortoise crossing the finish line. And people are yelling and cheering. You see, the tortoise had a passion to keep pursuing the goal. Whereas the hare started out really good, but then just stopped. His passion was lacking. His commitment, his diligence was not there. And so even though he was fast, he didn't give all speed to the pursuit. And this morning, we're not talking about how fast you move, how fast you go. We're talking about how hot your passion is for Jesus Christ. As we're basing this series out of 2 Peter chapter 1, and it starts in verse 5, and Peter says, "For this very reason, giving all diligence." That word diligence is the Greek noun spoude, which means speed. It stands for speed. It's related to the Greek word speedo. And we've talked about this the past few weeks. That sounds familiar, like those skimpy little trunks that the swimmers wear. That's because they don't want the baggy trunks that slow them down. They want something that is not going to create drag. They can go as fast as they can. Speedo, okay? God wants us to have speed in our relationship, that we're going after Him. We're giving all speed, all diligence to pursuing Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, how do you do that? He says, add to your faith. What do we add to? That word add means to nourish or supply your faith. And he lists seven qualities. These qualities are virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And what we have been learning is that God does not want us to be slow and lazy in our pursuit of Him, but He wants us to give all speed, to give passion, to give diligence, to give consistency in growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just that I come to church on Sunday morning, I show up, maybe I shake hands at the door, or I sing on the worship team, or I bake cookies, and then I just kind of go throughout my week doing what I want to do. No, our relationship with Jesus Christ is characterized by this passion that's consuming, that makes God a priority, and He's part of every part of our life. The past few weeks, we have looked in particular at six of the seven qualities, and I just want to review those really quick for those of you who haven't been here or you've missed online, and I encourage you to go back and you can catch up on any of the messages you missed. But the first quality we're to add to our faith is virtue. And virtue deals with our response to temptation and mediocrity. It's courageously choosing excellence in every area of our life, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our feelings. And it's being above average in our integrity, in purity, our work ethic, financial dealings, the way we treat people. It's having moral excellence in all we do. The second thing is knowledge that we're supposed to increase in. We're supposed to add to our faith. And this is our response to the Word of God. How much of God's Word are we bringing into our life? And we just had a word earlier in the service, one of the gifts of the Spirit, a prophecy that talked about truth and not substituting truth. We need to be people that are taking the truth of God and applying it to our life and not compromising in our life. And the more knowledge we have of God, the more we grow in our love for God. I shared the illustration, we went through this, how my wife, the more I got to know her, the more I love her, and that holds true in our relationship with Jesus. I had lunch with a missionary who was in an Islamic-dominated country, and he shares how in that country, in Turkey, there was a man they witnessed to. He received Christ, but his wife and the rest of his family wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And he read the Bible, he came to church, he was really into Jesus, but after a couple of years, his wife just kept nagging him, and every time she found a Bible, she'd throw it away. And eventually, he just stopped reading the Bible, and his passion for Christ waned, and he backslid. Now, thank God that over a period of time, he came back to Jesus, but his passion, his all-speed pursuit of spiritual growth was tied to his knowledge of God and his involvement, his engagement in God's Word. So it's vitally important that we are people of God's Word. The next quality we need to add is self-control, which is our response to internal desires and passions. It deals with food and beverage, sex, our speech, our emotions. Are we self-controlled in those areas? Number four is perseverance. This is our response to persecution and pain. We need cheerful, hopeful endurance when life falls apart. When life goes bad, how do we respond? Are we still going to trust God, or do we throw in the towel? Going after God is perseverance. The fifth quality is godliness. It's our response to God. And this is living every act of our life as an act of worship to Jesus. When you drive, when you shop at Walmart, when you are with your spouse, with your friends, when you go to work, you're treating everything like an act of worship to God. And then the last quality we covered was brotherly kindness, which is our response to God's people. It's loving our fellow Christians. It's caring for them. It's growing in relationship with one another. It's being iron that sharpens iron. It's strengthening relationships. It's regularly attending church and growing closer in fellowship with one another. That's brotherly kindness. Now, the final quality we're going to talk about this morning is love. And in your notes, if you picked up a hard copy back at the stand, or if you have the YouVersion app, you can go online to YouVersion, go to the events page, and you can find all of our sermon notes there. But the definition of love is our response to all people. It's every single person in the world, and love is to value others over yourself in light of God and His righteousness. It's to value other people as being equal, or even better, it's so easy for us to look out for our own interests. I love what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 2. He says, don't only look out for your own interests, but also look out for the interests of others. That's what Jesus did. He didn't look out for himself. He looked out for others. What was the best for God, the best for other people? And Jesus loved us, and that's the kind of love we are to have for everyone. Now, in your notes this morning, we have a lot of bullet points listed because love is it's like a diamond. You look at a diamond, there's a lot of different facets. You look at it one way, and maybe it looks white. Another angle, you see some pink, you see some gold, you see some blue, you see some green. And the diamond has all these different facets. And as you look at love, there are just dozens of different facets of love. But I want to just focus on a few this morning, all right? And in those notes, we've given a line there, and I want you just to kind of evaluate yourself as we go through these to see where do you fit in these qualities. Is God saying anything to you? Maybe you want to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 high, 1 low, and say, I need work on this. Or maybe you want to say, if there's a check mark here, I know I need to pay attention to it. But as we look at these facets of love, these different levels of love in our life, what does God want to speak to us about our love quotient, how love measures up in us? The first thing we want to look at is our love for the whole human race. Our love for the whole human race, and this deals with prejudice and racism. We have no prejudice, no racism. This is kind of a hot topic right now. What we need to realize is that God loves and values color. Okay? God created color. He sees it. He values all colors equally. Black people's lives matter. Red people's lives matter. Yellow people's lives matter. Brown people's lives matter. And white people's lives matter. And if it's the Blue Man Crew, the blue lives matter. All right? Every life matters. We see in Revelation chapter 5, 9, it says, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. In heaven, every tribe, every nation, every language, every color has been redeemed. God loves us all. Several weeks ago, we did a message called Prejudice, and we talked about how we are all one blood. That's what the book of Acts teaches us. We're all from one blood. We all descended from Adam. God loves all of us. We're all created in the image of God. We all have value. So we should not have prejudice, and not just to different races, but we should not have prejudice to different classes or statuses. We don't look at someone's bankroll and say, well, they're more wealthy, they're kind of a homeless person, so this person has more value and worth. That's a prejudice. We shouldn't be prejudiced and make judgments against people that maybe have disabilities, physical or mental disabilities. We shouldn't have prejudice to people that look differently than us, that maybe don't look like they're as smart or as with it. God wants us to love and value the entire human race without prejudice, without racism. Where do you measure up on that? When you're driving out of Walmart and someone's standing there and they don't look too good and they've got a sign that says, we'll work for food or anything helps, do you kind of think, man, what's wrong with them? Do you kind of look down on them and prejudge them, or do you see them as a person that God loves, God created, and who knows, but the grace of God, that could be you? How do we feel about people who are different from us? In school, you see it a lot. The jocks and the gearheads and the brainiacs, you know, everyone's kind of in their own group and they judge others and our group's better than yours. Maybe they don't say it, but they feel that way. And sometimes as adults, we carry those feelings with us. Do you love all people equally, or are there some people you see them and you kind of just get this negative, lower opinion of them? That's not love. If there is anyone who could have looked at someone and had a lower opinion of them, it's Jesus when he looks at us and us being trapped in our sin, and he could say, man, you guys aren't worth it. But instead, Jesus loved us and he gave his life for us. He died on the cross for our sin, not just for white people or with it people, but for all people, every tribe, every language. God help us to value everyone equally in light of God and his righteousness. That's the first aspect we want to look at. Evaluate yourself. The next thing we want to look at this morning is loving your enemies and persecutors. People who persecute you. We don't have much persecution in America, but it could come someday. and there's people who maybe antagonize us, they're against us. Do you love those people that do not like you, that try to make your life miserable? You say, well, I can love those who love me, but not those who hate me. But God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He sends the snow on the just and the unjust. You know, the rain is a good thing, but the snow, that should just go to the unjust. No. Are you ready for that snow coming this week? 3 to 5 inches? Glory to God. Get your shovel out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, I say to you, love your enemies. And what's interesting, he just came off and he says, you've heard it said, love those who love you, hate those and do bad to those, retaliate against those who've done bad to you. But I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Verse 45 has the answer, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Love your enemies. Rate yourself, evaluate yourself on that. And the next thing we're going to look at is very close to that, but it's forgiving your offenders, because you see, there's sometimes people aren't your enemy, but they offend you. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's someone you don't really know, but many of us can get offended. How many have been offended while driving recently? Yeah. Or you're offended at the store, or you're offended by, we have a neighbor, I don't know who he is, he's about a block away, many nights at 10 o'clock at night, he revs up his hot rod. You might want to turn the sound down for this, okay? But it's kind of like, rum, 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 rum. I mean, it's just like, for crying out loud. Okay, you can turn it back on again. I'm done revving my engine. But it's like, for crying out loud, can't you do this at 7 o'clock? And I'm going, thank you, Jesus, my kids are grown. I don't have babies. They would be up. And it's like, when it happens, it's like, okay, forgive those who offend you. Do you live in offense? Do you live in offense? When someone does something wrong to you, do you kind of get irritated and agitated and just carry that around? It's interesting, but Jesus, right before he said this, he was teaching us to pray the Lord's Prayer, and he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see, it's like what he says, if you forgive, you're forgiven, but if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. We have been forgiven by God, and that same forgiveness we have freely received, we need to freely give it to other people. And I know many Christians and many non-Christians carrying around bitterness, resentment, grudges, anger, irritation, and God does not want us to live in this spirit of offense. Rate yourself on that. Is there anyone you need to forgive this morning? If so, you need to call them up, maybe. If there's something you've done wrong to them and you need a clear conscience, you've offended them, call them up. And don't say, well, I did it because you did this. No, just say, I was wrong. God's convicted me that I did this to you. Will you please forgive me? When you have a clear conscience, it opens yourself up to God imparting more of his love and his spirit and revelation into your life. Forgive those who have offended you. The next aspect of love that we want to look at this morning is sharing salvation with all. Sharing salvation with everything. Now, we're not going to show this right away because we've been talking about this a lot. We've talked about what our mission is as a church, okay? So, what is our mission as a church? It's to help all people find and follow Jesus. Okay, hey, our mission is just two words, find and follow, okay? And when I say what's our mission is two words, find and follow. We want to help all people find and follow Jesus. We want to be witnesses. We want to bring them to Christ. But it's not just finding Jesus. It's then that they follow Jesus in every area of their life. They're giving all speed to growing in their relationship with God. That's our mission. Okay, so once again, what's our mission? Yes, to help all people find and follow Jesus. One of our core values is we invest sacrificially in reaching not yet Christians locally and globally. Evangelism and missions are a core value of our church. That's why this Sunday, first Sunday of the month, is missions faith promises. Those faith promises that you gave, that you made last January to support missionaries like the Providases, like the couple that's been separated for 6 months through COVID. We can have them on the field. They're witnessing. They're ministering to people. People are being saved. Churches are being planted. Pastors are being trained and raised up. That's why we give to missions. On October 18th, we're going to have a missions blast in the fall. For those of you who were not part of the missions convention, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to missions for the next 6 months. We're also going to, it's going to be a really special day, our youth worship team, they're going to be leading us in worship along with our worship leaders, so it's going to be a really neat day. And then after church, we're having a Speed the Light spaghetti dinner and dessert auction. Speed the Light is the youth missions program that provides vehicles for our missionaries. And so it's going to be a special day for that. So that's missions is a part of the heartbeat of our church. Our kids, we have BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, that provides equipment and curriculum and supplies for our missionaries. And this Saturday, September 12th, is the Bikeathon. How many of you have been asked to give a pledge for the Bikeathon? Okay, very few hands, okay? I want you, right after church, go find one of the kids from Kids Church and say, are you riding in the Bikeathon? And parents, if that's one of your kids, you need to hit them up, because I tell you, there's gold in them there pews. There's a lot of untapped resources out there, okay? But we want to raise money to help supply our missionaries, and our project is going to the African Oasis Project, which digs a well in a community that has a church, and it brings life to that community, and it helps build the church. And so we're going to be raising money to dig a well in Africa. And so this is an opportunity for you to partner with us. I'm going to be riding in it, all right? I'm going to go the 2 mile route. But then I'm going to catch up after parents pick up their kids at 2 miles. I'm going to catch up with the full route, everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun, but missions is a priority. Reaching all people around the world. And you know what? Sometimes that's really easy for us to do. I'll pray for our missionaries. Yeah, I'll give in faith promise. I'll support the dessert auction. I mean, I like dessert. I mean, you can tell that, you know. Or I'll help in the Bikeathon. But when it comes to being a witness locally, you want me to invite someone to church? You want me to tell someone about Jesus? I'll just stick over here on this side with missions. Friends, Jesus said, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, your hometown, in Judea, your surrounding area, to Samaria, the outsider, in the entire world. God wants you and I to be people that are witnesses of God's love that we're sharing with other people. Yesterday in our men's breakfast, Henry, you did a great job sharing the word yesterday, and it was a great meal. Thanks, Dale, for cooking. It was good to have men's breakfast back up again, wasn't it? Yeah. Henry talked about our testimony and how God has given each of us a different testimony, and during this time, we need to be sharing our testimony with other people, because the testimony, people can't argue with your story, with what God has done for you. And so look for opportunities. There's different aspects of your testimony. Maybe God has healed your body. Maybe God has healed your finances. Maybe God has healed your marriage. Maybe God has just broken through for you in a great way. Maybe He delivered you of alcoholism or delivered you of drugs. You have a testimony. Sometimes it's just the smallest things. What God did for you, how you provided for you, protected you. Maybe your car had a blowout and there was oncoming traffic and you were able to come to a stop very easily. God gives us a testimony and he's looking for ways for you and I to share our testimonies with people. We need to be praying for the lost. Pray for your coworkers. Students, pray for your classmates. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your unsaved family members, loved ones, the people you know that you come in contact with. If you frequent a certain grocery store or hardware store or gas station, you get to know maybe the people that are there, the clerks that work there. Build a relationship. Find their name. Begin to talk. Begin to pray for them. If you know of someone who's sick at work or at school, ask if you can pray that God would heal them. Let God use you to minister to the needs of those around you. Invite people to church. These are all different ways that we share salvation with everyone. You can be a witness. You can make a difference in someone's life. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? And maybe it was your parents, but who told your parents? You see, sometimes we forget what it was like before we knew Christ. Where would we be today if someone didn't love us and care enough about us to maybe invite us to that Bible study, to invite us to church and to risk rejection, or to share their testimony? Do you think they were a little afraid and a little apprehensive when they were talking to you for the first time about Jesus? I can guarantee they were. Yet they did it, and because they loved you, you have a relationship with Christ today. And God wants us to love others the way that we've been loved. You can be a witness and share. Share salvation with all. There's another facet we want to touch on this morning, and it's prioritizing marriage and family. You know, you would think that you wouldn't really have to talk about this in church, but they say the divorce rate among Christians today is identical to the divorce rate among not-yet Christians. There is no difference, and I can't tell you how many times I've had a couple sit in my office. They've come for marriage counseling. They've got some problems, and so they'll talk, and we'll try to solve the problem, and we'll give them some homework. I want you to do this. And like we come back a week later, did you do this? No. How are your devotions? I'm not having them. We're not having them. What's your church attendance like? Oh, I've been there once in the past 5 weeks. And they're not giving all speed, all passion, all diligence into their relationship. And yet they'll say, we tried marriage counseling and it didn't work. You know what? That's just a smokescreen. They're trying to rationalize a way to say they tried everything so they can get a divorce and go on with what they want. Friends, as Christians, we have the love of Jesus in us. We need to be able to love our spouse. And you say, well, you don't know what they've done. They've offended me. Forgive the offender. Right? We just talked about that. We need to forgive one another. We need to communicate. We need to work things out. Love is intentional. Nobody has ever drifted to a desired destination. Nobody. When you drift, you always drift to an undesired destination. Your marriage needs to be intentional. You need to intentionally invest in one another. If not, you're really not loving each other, because love initiates. Love does something. Love is action. It's not just words. It's not a feeling, but love is an action. Jesus initiated the cross to save us so that we can respond in love and commitment back to him. And if we're not taking the initiative in our marriages and investing in them and deliberately trying to grow on that relationship, then we are drifting and we're putting our marriage at risk. So we need to take this facet of love, add it to our faith, but add it in the area of our marriage. We also need to add it to the area of our family. As parents, we just can't let our kids drift. We need to connect with them, do things with them, have a board game night, play games, do things together, have a family movie night, and also be training them and mentoring them. Too many parents allow their kids with no spiritual training. They think what they get for an hour and a half in children's church and an hour and a half on Wednesday night in Rangers, Missionettes, or Youth, that's going to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Do you realize in the Bible, not once does it say anywhere, Royal Ranger Commander, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Missionette leader, youth pastor, children's pastor, you train them up in the nurture. No, it's always directed to dad and to mom. As parents, we have the responsibility to mentor, to guide, to disciple our children. We need to be investing in our kids because love is intentional. Love is action. And I get it. School's on. And for some of you, this may be even more difficult because you're doing it online or you've got different kind of homework now and it's so tough. You need to find the time to invest in relationship and in righteousness, training them in righteousness and loving them, talking with them, being with them, combining that together and loving your kids. Prioritizing marriage and family is an aspect of love we need to add to our faith. And then the last thing I want to talk about this morning as we look at love is not self-absorbed. This really applies to everything. How many times do you walk into a room and you just start talking about yourself? This problem, that problem, or this big thing that happened, or that thing, or whatever it is. Or when someone else starts talking to you, you turn the conversation around and start talking about yourself. Now here, relationships are reciprocal, okay? It's not just one person talking all the time. And if there's a person who talks all the time, you know, they need to listen, but a lot of times we need to listen too. It, just in our normal everyday life, when you go to the store, are you self-absorbed? I've got these three items on my list, and I'm going to get them. And I've got 5 minutes to do it before my next appointment, so I'm racing into Walmart. How fast can I get those? You know, and sometimes we can, in our own lives, be so self-absorbed in our agendas, the things we have to do, that we're not sensitive in allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and say, hey, here's an opportunity to share salvation, to pray for someone, to minister to someone, to encourage someone. Or sometimes you come home from work at night, you're so tired physically or emotionally, you're exhausted, and you're not thinking about anyone else in the family. You're absorbed with yourself. This self-absorption really covers so many gamuts of our life. And there's times it's like, yes, we are tired, but you say, God, give me the strength and the passion to engage. To engage my wife in conversation. To engage my kids in conversation. Include a little time of spiritual training. We read a book or a devotional at breakfast and sometimes at dinner at night. Just part of family devotions. We pray and talk about it. Takes maybe between 5 and 10 minutes. But it's that intentional. It's that line upon line, that precept upon precept that builds our kids up. And just letting the Holy Spirit let you do little things as He shows you needs in other people's lives. When we add love and brotherly kindness and perseverance and self-discipline and virtue and knowledge and self-control, Peter tells us that you are going to increase. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, in other words, we don't stop adding them. They're a continual effort. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're adding love and all of these qualities, there's two results in your notes. One, it makes us useful. We find purpose in life. We find meaning in life. And we're not just walking through life empty, what it's all about. But as we add these qualities, we're useful. And secondly, we're fruitful. We find fulfillment. And nowadays, so many people, we're looking for fulfillment in riches, in wealth, in accomplishments, in status, and in pleasure. And fulfillment is not found in anything physical or temporal. It's found in the spiritual. There is fullness of joy in His presence. And as we're growing in relationship, giving all speed, all diligence to our relationship with Jesus Christ, as we do that, you know what happens? We find the abundant life, a fruitful life, an overflowing life. And we find purpose and meaning. And God's going to begin to use us in different ways. And when we see someone encouraged, someone come to Christ, someone healed, God, what does that do to us? That lifts us up. There is something that happens in us as God uses us for agents of the kingdom. I want to give all speed, because when we don't give all speed to these qualities, verse 9 says, he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. I have bifocals, okay? And I have noticed lately, it used to be I could see things really clearly in the distance. I had a little bit of astigmatism and stuff, but even now things are getting a little hazy. And up close, I can't even read the fine print on a cereal box anymore. I have vision problems, and I need to add a couple of qualities to my eyes so I can see properly. And when we don't add these qualities, self-control, love, brotherly kindness, all these things we've been talking about the past several weeks, we have vision problems. We're short-sighted. We don't see life the way we should. When we're in pain or persecution, we may wonder, why, God, what's happening? Don't you love me? Don't you care? When we're facing temptation and we haven't been adding these qualities, we'll think that's what's going to satisfy us and make us fruitful and fulfilled. And so we'd give in to the temptation instead of realizing it's growing closer to Jesus in our oneness with Him. All of these qualities are so vitally important for you and I, so that we can see life properly. Because when you don't see properly, you know what happens? Boom, you fall flat on your face because you don't know where you're going. I don't want to be blind. I want to be able to see in my life. Peter goes on to say, he has forgot his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Diligence is from the same word we read in verse 5, speed. Use speed in your pursuit of Jesus. Add these qualities. You see, when we're not actively growing and pursuing these qualities in our life, then we're drifting in our relationship with Jesus. And you drift long enough, you forget you've been purified, forgiven of your sins, and you walk away from a relationship with Jesus. This idea of pursuing Jesus with all passion, all speed, is vitally, vitally important. Let's pray together. Father God, I ask today that you would inspire us, you would challenge us, God, you would warn us of things in our life that are lacking, God, that you would help us to grow and give all diligence to growing closer to you. If we likened your relationship with God to driving, how would your life be described? Maybe for some of you, you'd say, you know what? I'm in the parking lot. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really going anywhere in my faith. I'm really not pursuing God at all. I got saved at one time. Maybe I was following Jesus, going after him. But now, man, I'm just sitting still. There's no real growth. I'm not really engaging in his word, talking to him. I'm just there. Others of you might say, you know, I'm a Sunday driver. I'm just out for a casual drive. Wherever I go, wherever I feel like going at the moment, I'm not really diligent, not really pursuing Jesus all that much. There's a little, but not much. Others of you may say, you know what? I'm cruising down the highway. I am going after Jesus. And that's great, but let me throw this out to you. How many of us would say, you know what? I have a NASCAR pursuit of Jesus. I'm giving all speed. I've got the pedal to the metal, and I am going after him with all I have. And maybe it's not the speed of a rabbit, it's the speed of a tortoise, but it's that consistency. And you're going as fast as you possibly can, not looking at the progress you make to compare to someone else, but you keep putting one foot in front of the other. You keep adding these qualities. Your pursuit of Jesus, you're hungry for him. You want him. You have that NASCAR passion for Jesus. How many this morning would say, I need to add some speed? I have a need for speed. I need to add some speed to my relationship, my pursuit of Christ. I'd like you just to lift your hand this morning. Many hands up. That's awesome. There may be some of you here today, you'd say, you know what? I don't even have a driver's license. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not on the road. I'm not on the straight and narrow because I'm not a Christian. Friend, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died for all of us. He wants to depopulate hell and populate heaven with every single person. And this morning, you can know God's love. You can know his forgiveness. You can know his freedom and his leadership if you receive Jesus as your leader and your forgiver. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and then to take control of your life, and you're going to pursue him and follow him with all diligence. If you're here this morning or you're listening online and you need to receive Christ as your Savior, I'd just like you to lift your hand up right now. Just raise your hand. Anyone in the building, how many would say, I need to become a Christian. I need to become a follower of Christ. Anyone here today? I'm going to say this prayer. I'd like each of you to repeat after me and apply the parts of this prayer as they relate to your life. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness in my life. You love me. You loved me with everything you have. I now give myself to you. Forgive me, lead me, guide me. I want you more than anything. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Amen. You know, the thing that I love is that even when we're not pursuing Jesus the way we should, he's still pursuing us. And every overture, every step we make to getting closer to him, he loves that. And I know in our flesh, in my flesh, I am not perfect. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not perfect. I haven't attained. We battle that, but God wants us to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep plodding, whether it's the speed of a rabbit or the speed of a turtle, just keep pursuing God. Keep going after God. Don't give up. When he speaks to you about love, about forgiving someone, about your marriage, about your kids, about self-control, about virtue and temptation, about perseverance in tough times, let the Spirit speak to you and say, you know what? I'm not going to substitute truth with an error or with my feelings. I'm going to put another step in front of me and keep going after God. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to be self-controlled. I'm going to live life above average because I'm giving all speed to my relationship with God.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.